Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Grosse Pointe Farms, Michigan, and earned a master's in social work from the University of Michigan. In 1962, he joined the Congregation of Holy Cross as a brother, and since 1972, he's been the executive director of Holy Cross Children's Services. One of the most joyful men you will ever meet, he's a modern-day angel for the poor. His name? Brother Francis Boylan, and we're honored to have him as our guest. And I'm Jack Grasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Grasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to the executive director of Holy Cross Children's Services, Brother Francis Boylan. Brother, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
I had great parents. In the context of today's society, I had parents. So my dad was a police officer, Grosse Pointe Farms. My mom was a mom. There were five children, and mom's responsibility was to make sure we were cared for, went to school, passed our classes, and did everything Dad expected us to do.
What's the biggest thing you learned from Dad?
What I learned from Dad, my dad was an orphan, born in New Jersey, found that there were opportunities in Grosse Pointe, so took a big risk to come to Grosse Pointe, and with conviction and steadfastness, stayed with that department for almost 35 years.
Brother, what were you like as a kid? Other than perfect.
Perfect, yeah. I hope to say just a normal kid. What I would say is I was third born. Oftentimes, literature says the first two siblings live out all your parents' dreams. The third sibling gets to live out his dreams. So I believe I was in that context of living out what I thought was what I hoped to do.
Speaking of living out your vocation, you decided to become a brother. What's the difference between being a priest and being a brother?
Okay. Probably back to childhood, I went to Catholic schools. I saw movies about helping kids in Africa, in different parts of the world. That really attracted me. The significant difference between ordained ministry, priesthood, is to bring sacraments to the people. The role of brothers is really to bring what we might think as secular, education, health care, legal, those services. What's kind of unique, especially as missionaries, oftentimes in countries that are not Christians, priests are not allowed to go. It's hard to get a work visa to be a priest in a Muslim or Hindu country. But brothers, sisters can go first. We open schools, hospitals, charities, and that's how we can love the folks in those countries.
Let's go back 50 years.
Yes.
1962. You decide to join the Congregation of the Holy Cross. How did that come to be?
The sisters I had in high school, Adrian Dominican sisters, knew of Boysville. I had shared with them, actually my parents shared with them once, I was thinking of becoming a brother. They viewed I was a good teacher because I was in the teacher's club. Holy Cross Brothers are predominantly teaching. And so they're the ones that suggested this community. Because I would say, at that point in my life, I didn't realize there were different communities with different charisms. So I was blessed that that teacher gave me the advice to join this group.
Doing research regarding the Holy Cross congregation, their part of their mission statement says, quote, "We are men with hope to bring." How do you bring hope to other people?
Back a step. Holy Cross was founded after the French Revolution. That's significant because kids lived on the street. There wasn't education. So our charism to bring hope to young folks is housing and education. So that's been the history, really, of Holy Cross. We see education as a vehicle of hope for most children.
You can't live without hope.
That's true.
And a lot of people today are really suffering and thinking about ending their life. If there is a listener tonight that's that far down the stream and says, "Brother, I don't have any hope," what do you say to that listener?
I want to go back to my inspiration, which was Jesus Christ. And I did write this down because I'm hesitant to quote Jesus or misquote him. So, Jesus' last message to us was, "I give you a new commandment to love one another just as I have loved you. You almost must love one another. By this love you have for one another, everyone will know you're my disciple." So anyone who feels hopeless, my challenge is to them is to go out and love their neighbor. And not just their neighbor. We all know neighborhoods where there's violence. We know areas where kids are most unloved. So my suggestion would be to go to these neighborhoods and love people. Because Jesus reminds us, if you want to be happy, love someone else.
We're talking to Brother Francis Boylan, who's been a brother for 50 years. When we come back, we'll ask him the biggest thing that he's learned in those 50 years. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula, and we're with Brother Francis Boylan, who joined the Congregation of Holy Cross as a brother in 1962. What has being a brother for 50 years taught you?
One, to be open and flexible. I'll say this in this context. When I first came to Boysville Holy Cross Children's Services, the brother in charge, the brother superior, said, "We're all becoming Knights of Columbus today, because Knights of Columbus are the sponsors of this ministry in Michigan, widows and orphans." So, to your question, I'd have to say, working with Knights of Columbus for a significant period of time in meeting, there's 70,000 members in Michigan, and working with them has taught me what most people are searching for: happiness. And Pope Benedict kind of reminds us there's two parts of happiness. One is going to church, Eucharist. The second part is being Jesus to other people. So as brother, as Knight of Columbus, as Christian, for the last years, just getting to meet people from every walk of life, getting to know them, parting and celebrating with them, has probably been my greatest joy.
Since 1972, 40 years, you've been the executive director of Holy Cross Children's Services. Tell us about Holy Cross Children's Services.
The Michigan Knights, in cooperation with the Bishops of Michigan, began Boysville Holy Cross Children's Services, asked Knights Brothers of Holy Cross to do the service. My responsibility since 1967 plus was to develop centers in each diocese, because in each community, the needs of children are different. So for the last years, we then have been able to develop physical centers and programs in each diocese. We've been able to develop a continuum of care, caring from our girls who want to keep their babies from birth to our kids' grandmas, who our kids said, "Will you help us also take care of grandma?" So we end with skilled nursing. I think today our oldest young lady with us is 103. So we're going to work with children. We're going to find families and housing for moms. And we're going to try to change communities so that youngsters do have opportunities for education, a safe place to play.
Brother, when Holy Cross Children's Services started, its focus was helping children.
Right.
That's why the name Children's Services.
Right.
And then it expanded.
Yes.
To help the whole family.
Yes.
Why?
Well, when you're really trying to help the child, you find out their primary concern is still, where is mom? Did mom die? Is mom sick? Why did mom leave me? So because of that question can be a distraction, that's very important for us. Equally, as life changed and society changed, we thought it was more and more important to reunite the child with the parent wherever possible. So that was a major movement in the 60s to find resources, to find certified co-workers to be able to reunite kids with their families. And just as an aside, one of the things the chaplains do that's kind of very important, many of our kids aren't sure if mom or dad are alive or dead. So we really work. Many of our kids come from very poor families. Many of their parents are kind of in the pauper's grave at cemeteries. So one of the chaplain's many responsibilities is to see if we can locate that parent, and then we have a funeral. The idea being the child now knows, yes, one of my parents have died. Yes, there's closure. Yes, now I can move on with my life.
If you want to learn more, www.hccsnet.org. Brother, 10 years ago, let's go back 10 years ago, and Detroit Mercy Hospital at Connor Avenue and I-94 closes. It just happens to be the poorest zip code in America. 48213, the poorest zip code in America. And you take over that hospital, and you create the Samaritan Center. The DeVosses helped you, you know, Ray Weingartz and his wife, others, Comerica, etc. Tell us about the Samaritan Center.
We were just talking about trying to reconnect Mom. Ford Motor Company actually gave us a grant with a strategic planner. The goal was, if we're really to be successful, where are our young people several years after leaving us? One of the concerns we had still was housing. What we found through that strategic planning process, many moms had youngsters, took care of grandma with Alzheimer's, couldn't afford physicals, maybe didn't have the right dress, maybe didn't have the right education. So they were considered unemployable or certainly unemployed. The Samaritan Center then took every one of those issues and created a program. So Head Start, so Mom was comfortable, the little kids were being cared for. Grandma with Alzheimer's, we have 120 beds for grandmas. Job training centers, education centers, doctors who will give free clinicals, physicals if you don't have. We give you clothes for interviews. So we took every reason that Mom was not employed and couldn't care for her children and put those reasons together to create the Samaritan Center. The East Side Detroit, at that time, we probably had 3,000 students a year just come from the East Side of Detroit and live with us. So that's why it was kind of a mutual project when the Sisters of Mercy were looking for more holistic care of their facility because they didn't need the beds because population had switched. And our proposal to provide holistic care for the community and moms. So our kids did have a place to go to.
Brother, if the families you serve could speak to us tonight, what would they say to us?
The young people, and in different times when just visitors visit us and they ask the students that question, common things come up like, I now can sleep at night. Because in my home community, it was difficult to sleep at night for a variety of reasons. The school here meets my needs as an individual. It doesn't embarrass me because I have learning disability. So I'm learning to read. I didn't think I could ever learn to read. So I'm learning to read. I'm learning a math. I never thought I'd find my mother. You helped me find my mother. You helped me find my father. So when we just talk to the kids, several just say, I'm still alive. Several of my siblings' relative have died during this year. So I think they would say, love, safety, and now I have hope.
We're talking to Brother Francis Boylan, who's a modern-day angel for the poor. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Brother Francis Boylan, one of the most joyful men you'll ever meet in your life. Brother, I quote you now. You've said, one of the most gratifying aspects of this work, 40 years, is actually being with people who are marginalized. Why?
I want to also respond to being an angel. Because we look at angels are messengers of hope during troubled times. So historically, Jesus sent angels with a message during difficult times. So you use that word, I hope I'm an angel. We also use that word for all our co-workers, all our benefactors, Knights of Columbus, because we do see ourselves as messengers to, as you said, to young people needing care and hope.
Well, if they're all angels, they got your sign, angel, in capital letters. So, 2010, you start a beauty salon, Holy Cross Beauty Salon, and you call it a ministry. Why?
Well, that certainly goes back to helping mom find a job. So part of that, after the academic requirements, what are the self-esteem requirements? Proper clothing. We've now opened a dental clinic, so you have a great smile. You feel comfortable with yourself. So teeth and hairstyling and clothing and hugs are all part of our self-esteem. So mom's comfortable going to apply for the job.
Do you think your beauty salon could do any magic with my hair?
You can tell looking at me that doesn't work. So,
but the price is good, right? The price is good. If you want to learn more, www.hccsnet.org. You spent a lot of time with another angel in town, arguably a living saint in town, Eleanor Josephus.
Yes.
You know, we experienced the riots in 67. Father Cunningham starts Focus Hope, and he goes to this suburban housewife who's got five small children, all under 10, to come and help. 6 months later, she convinces her husband, Don, to move the family back to Detroit. Her mom and dad hire an attorney to take the kids away from her because she's crazy. Father-in-law wanted to disown her. Brother-in-law asked her to use her maiden name so the family name Josephus wouldn't be embarrassed. Tell us about that angel, the late Eleanor Josephus.
Our program started in Clinton, Michigan. Henry Ford the First gave us his farm and his school. As was mentioned earlier, 1967, I received my letter that says, your new address is Clinton, Michigan. Go help the young people of Michigan. I came here pretty much a novice, a biology teacher, business teacher, social worker. So people who encouraged me surrounded me. Father Cunningham, Eleanor Josephus, Monsignor Kern, Cardinal Dearden, Monsignor Finnegan. So there was a whole group that said, Francis, you have to come to Detroit. And so since 67, Eleanor, Monsignor Kern, Monsignor Finn have passed on. Eleanor stayed and encouraged me and taught me and supported me till a year ago. So part of our whole understanding of what it's like to work in Detroit, but it applies to Flint, Pontiac, Jackson, Benton Harbor, to get to know the people so they could minister to us. And at the same time, in this loving relationship, whatever, whether they're called homeless, whatever the name, the relationship between both of us forms this happy, hopefully joyful environment for myself and the families we serve.
If you look up the word courage in Webster's dictionary, there's a picture of Eleanor Josephus.
Okay.
And I've once heard that courage isn't the absence of fear. Courage is action in the face of fear. Another iconic figure in this town was a Father Solanus Casey, who died in 1957. Very few people are more famous after their death than before their death. So here's a man been dead for 55 years, and people flock to, pray to him 55 years. Tell us about this Father Solanus Casey.
As you know, Father Solanus Casey is a Capuchin friar. I had the privilege as a teenager to attend his funeral with my grandmother. And not that I was so pious. I was a teenager, and I agreed to drive anybody, any place with my permit. But I will say at that event is when I first heard of brothers, and I first heard that their role was predominantly to welcome people, to listen to people. And Father Solanus was the model of that. I have to add, now one of the first saints born in North America happens to be a Holy Cross brother, Saint Brother Andre Bessette. Brother Andre and Solanus were friends. So when Brother Andre would come to Detroit, he also would visit Solanus Casey. I share that in the sense my ongoing formation after just being inspired by Father Solanus and knowing his inspiration was Jesus Christ. One of my confreres, Brother Andre, whose also mission was to welcome people. Statistics talk about at his place in Montreal, he'd welcome 300,000 people a year. And his role was, again, it's not me. Our job is to welcome, introduce people to Jesus Christ, and tell the Jesus Christ story. Besides loving yourself, go love somebody else. And that became kind of a healing process for both Fathers Solanus and Brother Andre. And I hope to, in some small degree, welcome folks today. Welcome the Jesuses of 212. So in Jesus, as you know, today might be the clerk, the homeless person, who knows, the interviewer, the bishop, everyone is Jesus. So how do we form that relationship? And I share that just back to, again, we just celebrated Easter. You know, the apostles on their way to Emmaus were walking, talking. A third person joined them. But it wasn't until they had dinner that night they finally recognized, they took time out to have dinner, form a relationship. That's when they recognized this third person was Jesus. So our goal is to take some time out, meet people, and experience Jesus.
We're talking to Brother Francis Boylan, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Brother Francis Boylan, who for the last 40 years has been the Executive Director of Holy Cross Children's Services, www.hccsnet.org. Brother, how much longer are you going to do this?
Oh, I hope a long time. It's so much fun. So as long as I'm healthy and things work, I'd be happy to continue to form relationships with all these wonderful people.
You grew up, brother, in Grosse Pointe Farms, one of the richest zip codes in the world, with the one percenters. And now for the last 50 years, you've toiled 10 miles away in another world, in the poorest zip code. Do you ever wish you were back in Grosse Pointe Farms?
The beautiful thing about the community I grew up in, their hearts, their commitment to Detroit and the less fortunate, their commitment to loving their neighbor as themselves is what empowers me. So how do I feed the folks? How do I build buildings? It's all my folk friends from the community I grew up in. So there's a mutual camaraderie. And happiness is in both places. I'm just as happy meeting the wonderful people I meet on the east side as I am with the wonderful people I meet in Grosse Pointe.
So you go have dinner with these friends in Grosse Pointe, you ask them for money, and then you take the money to the poor zip code. So it's
they come with me.
Okay.
It's not the money. I do invite people to join the ministry, because part of our ministry really is believe what we do, live it, but invite others to join. So I really invite people to participate.
Speaking of you being a modern-day angel for the poor, mm-hmm. Mother Teresa was an iconic mm-hmm. angel for the poor. And I recently read, quote from her, "I am a little pencil in the hand of a writing God who is sending a love letter to the world."
And when I read that, I had to update it to 2012. My view today is God the Father did not send us an email. God the Father sent us a person. He sent people like you, the people listening, like Mother Teresa. He sent people with voices and hands and feet. So what Mother Teresa reminds us of, God the Father sent a person. It's all of our jobs to use our voices and our hands to form relationships with each other so both myself and others can truly experience happiness, which is knowing Jesus. Mother also taught us, real quick, two things. We all have a vocation, but it's not just married, single, but secondly, we have this responsibility to live out the vocation. And I'm sure that's what everyone who's listening is trying to figure out. How do I live out my vocation? And I want to say this even goes back to Scripture, because St. Philip said, "Lord, I know you say you're the way and the light, but I don't know what you're talking about when you say you're the way, you're the light." And Jesus' basically response to you was, just do what I ask you to do. Love those that need to be cared for. So that becomes the way for all of us.
And you and your fellow angels at Holy Cross Children's Services do that very well each day. Brother, anybody who knows you, is around you, walks away saying, "Wow, this man's been a brother for 50 years. He's like, he has a boyish wonderment about the world. His positive nature, his enthusiasm, there's a peacefulness about him. How do I get that?"
Two areas. Oftentimes, people will talk about, just go outside. Just look at the heavens, the trees, the flowers, the water. You know there's a God who created this. And after you know there's a God that created the peace and the universe and nature, you have to come to the conclusion God created man. Get to know who I am by knowing your brothers and sisters. So I think that's still kind of the key message. Start with nature, if that's the easiest. Go in your backyard, wherever. But pretty soon, you'll recognize the greatest beauty is human beings. So the ecology of gardens and going green is very important, but the ecology of creating a value structure on which kids can grow and bloom is also extremely important. And we have the same responsibility to going the ecology of going green, if you will, as to the ecology of creating a healthy environment for our kids to grow.
We're talking to Brother Francis Boylan. Brother, how does a person learn to listen to God?
Just shut up. That's just...
For you are a brother.
Yeah, just shut up and sit still for a couple minutes. And because oftentimes we talk about praying as talking to God. Equally important, as we say, God gave us two ears and one mouth, so we should listen twice as much as we talk.
About a year ago, we had an ex-NFL football player, Danny Abramowitz, who's now doing men's ministry throughout.
Yes.
And I asked him that question, and he said the same thing, just shut up. So as our time winds down tonight, we'll be quiet, we'll shut up. Would you lead us in a closing prayer, Brother Francis?
We're the people that believe with Jesus and us working together, anything is possible. So we believe the dreams of the people of Michigan, of Detroit, can and will come true if we just work with our Creator. We also pray that the poor, the hungry, the disenfranchised, the lowly feel comfortable in coming to us so that we really can share the message of hope, the message of Jesus with all those who come to us. We ask this through our Creator God. Amen.
Brother Francis Boylan, what a shining example of not just being an angel for the poor, but an angel for all of us. Please keep up the great work.
And you're also an angel. Don't forget it.
Thank you. Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. I haven't been called an angel in a long time. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spahome.